Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Sure, we talk about cryptocurrency. We talk about like moving into a different age for currency, but it's kind of rare to see a lot of external coverage. And something like this, we've got the Globe and Mail here.
Well, before you go on with it, I think we talked on Free Talk Live back when Bitcoin came out. For years, we talked about sort of the importance of, in any arena, disruption and evolution. And that's what cryptocurrency is to currency. Currency's been around for a long time. You know, maybe it was wheat at one point. You know, maybe before that, I don't, shells and cockles. I have no idea what it was. But it's changed its form throughout the years. But we've had currency.
Well, shells is definitely documented. My favorite is salt.
Salt is great. People need that. It's not as durable as, say, gold. And obviously, you can consume it in ways that, you know, you can't consume gold.
Nice and divisible. It's got a utility value.
Yeah.
Not as heavy.
And it would certainly make sense. Basically, the biggest change in currency for the 100 years before Bitcoin came around was the United States, stopping backing the dollar by metal.
There's a digital side to that currency. It's a hybrid currency, if you will. There's physical cash, which you can still, you know, trade for your rent or for food or prostitutes or whatever.
That's also true of BTC, though.
That is true in some places, and increasingly more, where you can trade cryptocurrency for goods, services.
No, but there is physical BTC in existence, and if you count paper wallets, then there's physical every cryptocurrency. But there is physical BTC in existence.
Yeah, you could make BTC or any cryptocurrency physical in so much as you could make a paper wallet and exchange it with people. It's easy. I mean, it's really not very hard to do such a thing. It's just that it kind of destroys the purpose.
Well, paper wallets are debatable, but there are physical Bitcoins of the, not BCH, but
right, they're not divisible in the same way though.
No.
Yeah. And you can't.
So by physical, you mean just like the particular code that attaches to a particular account, right?
No, well, there are physical BTCs.
What you need to do with
I'm totally confused. What is a physical BTC?
It's a Chuck E. Cheese token that somebody stuck a hologram sticker on the back of.
The banks in Canada, Britain, the European Union, Japan, Switzerland, Sweden, and the United States are getting serious about the threat that private digital currencies pose to the control of monetary policy.
And this is the other aspect of this. You can say that private digital currencies like Bitcoin and Monero and Bitcoin Cash and whatever have put pressure on fiat currencies to evolve in a digital direction and sort of blame them for that. And that's understandable. Yeah, I gotcha. Disruption drives evolution. But governments were trying to eliminate cash already. India eliminated its largest rupee note. I can't remember what that was a couple of years ago. And they're not trying to bring this back. In the United States, all they're trying to do is just inflate it to the point that a $100 bill is going to go buy a candy bar.
Well, and they may eliminate their highest note. We're eliminating our lowest as coins are increasingly more difficult to get a hold of.
Yeah, coins are it's harder and harder to use cash. So you think the mark of the beast here, I suppose that's a direction to go with it. Do you think sort of literally that's what we're talking about here? Because there are those, I think they're called preterists, that believe that all of the predictions from Revelation were actually fulfilled within the first century AD. And I thought they made a pretty good argument.
Do you know what their argument was on the mark on the hand or the head that you couldn't buy or sell without?
I would have to look that up.
Because I always thought that was kind of a metaphor for what you do and what you think.
Ah.
Because those are certainly tightly controlled.
Who's to say the mark couldn't be digital?
I suppose it could. You mean like a barcode?
Like I said, if they eliminate cash, if you want to buy anything, you're going to have some kind of a 15-digit number or whatever.
Something that you've memorized?
Well, I figured if they're going to go that way, it'd be like an RFID.
Well, whatever, they're going to have to figure out some way, you know, to
debit an account.
A serious amount of people.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, that's the cool thing about computers.
I'm totally against it.
Is that without writing, we could not have had the agrarian revolution. They simply could not tally, you know, the grain coming in, and you couldn't have made. I guess what I'm trying to say is you couldn't have had cities. You could have had large towns, but you couldn't have megalopoli.
A couple of weeks ago, you had mentioned something that was interesting. You guys are real sharp, and I really enjoy hearing your comments. But you said sometimes it can take, you know, 1 or 2 years, you know, to, like, you know, go through the court system or to get to court or something, like maybe after an arrest or something like that.
Take longer than that, but yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it seems to me almost like the process has suddenly become a major part of the punishment and everything, you know, and oftentimes the police will, like, overcharge somebody on a crime or something, you know, and then they'll negotiate or call plea bargain down to, like, you know, to lesser charges and everything, and it might take years to do that. In the meantime, some poor guy has maybe paid thousands to an attorney that he's going to have to pay for the next several years, you know, so much a month for the next several years plus interest and everything, and it seems to me that suddenly, more than ever before, the process has become just a major, major league part of the punishment.
That makes me think of two things, Ed. So first off, there's a phrase that the cops use. It's called the quote is, "You can beat the rap, but you can't beat the ride." And what they mean by that is you might beat the charges, but so what? We're going to do awful things to you from this moment that I put handcuffs on you until you get bonded out.
Part of your solution to the problem is that they just need to get speedier trials, like, you know, like you said, 45 to 60 days, and that might clear up a lot of this.
Well, that would be an improvement. I wouldn't say it's my solution to the problem.
Yeah, I would want to see a bunch of different things done, but I mean, I try to toss out some easy nuggets that would, you know, do us a lot better. Well, we would be served as
putting any limit would at least stop us here, so that years down the road they're like, well, by speedy trial I meant this decade,
right? And the other thing is sort of bail. You can't talk about this without talking about bail. One of the things about bail is you're paying, you know, $10,000 or whatever in order to have 2 or 3 years free on the outside. Side so that you can, you know, you can't fight while you're in jail. It's really difficult. So you also get a better chance of winning. There's a whole variety of reasons to do it. But you wouldn't necessarily need bail. Not as many people would even need bail if they got their trial within 45 days or whatever. So some of the change surrounding bail that we're looking at right now with the whole Black Lives Matter movement and stuff like that wouldn't be the call for it that there currently is. This is just more evidence. The system is broken. Well, really, really broken.
And if anyone else kidnaps me and I lose my job as a result, I can at least sue them for what I've lost.
Right. And that's the other thing is that one side of the game, you have a whole bunch of skin in the game because the government's charged you. On the other side of the game, there's no skin in the game at all.
I'm not 100% sure on this, but from everything that this is telling me, it looks like there's going to be a single central bank currency with Canada, Britain, European Union, Japan, Switzerland, Sweden, and the U.S.
Mm.
So, like, instead of there just being, you know, the U.S. dollar has its digital side, instead of, okay, well, we're going to switch full digital with the U.S. dollar, it looks like what they're doing with this is there's going to be a single CBDC, central bank digital currency, for all of these countries at once. Yeah,
the U.S. might have too much hubris to go for that because they have the world reserve currency right now. They are rightfully afraid, or seem to be rightfully afraid, of losing that status. The other ones I could see doing that, because if they come together and agree, okay, we're going to split this, I don't think any one of them is confident enough to say that they will get that status when the U.S. loses it.
Well, basically, what we're talking about here is combining the euro and the dollar together.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, if, let's say they create this CBD whatever, right? CBDC.
Central Bank Digital Currency.
It doesn't mean that you have to experience it as the end user. Those that control our money control us. When the people control money, like they do with cryptocurrencies, then they're in control of their own lives.
So another layer of this, essentially what has kept a lot of American currency afloat is the fact that that OPEC, which has 40% of the world's oil reserves, will only trade in U.S. dollars. So other countries are really fond of having their debts enumerated in U.S. dollars. So no one ever really checks the books because we know that we can trade that for what we actually want. Now, recently, Saudi Arabia, the largest partner of OPEC, has been sort of going off on its own. For the first time, it broke an OPEC agreement with Russia not to produce as much gas. And they had this this big gas war, which, had it not been solved, could have crashed the entire global economy. It did get solved rather quickly,
well,
but that's
a risky...
Well,
it could have crashed the entire financial system and fiat currency system, which is different than the economy.
How you figure?
You could just trade for something other than Federal Reserve notes.
Well, that's still a crash. I mean, you don't have to obliterate every single part of it in order to make a crash in the entire system.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Using cryptocurrency is actually more convenient than using cash. So, especially if you're trying to operate in non-physical space, which is increasingly where the market is.
Right. Using cryptocurrency is basically similar to using Google Pay or Apple Pay.
And that is true in cities. It's not necessarily as true in places without internet access or widespread internet access.
Which is That's an true. Increasingly smaller part of the planet. And
I go to places where I can't pay in crypto because I can't get a phone signal.
To be clear, all right. If you can get a phone signal and I can't, you can send me crypto. Like, so for instance, I could have a barcode on the side of my little kiosk, and you could send money to that. Not barcode, I should say QR code. You could send money to that QR code, and I would be able to access it once I came back into the cell phone coverage.
Right, but if I'm trying to pay you, and
but
I don't
you
have
don't have coverage
phone signal.
You could
and
pay.
As far as I know, in some of these places, nobody has a phone signal.
Right,
that's my understanding.
It's possible for you to pay, but it's also possible for you to turn the transaction around, which means that I don't have trust in the transaction. So, you know.
Yeah, and I could pay later.
Central banks have been monitoring the emergence of digital currencies, Bitcoin, Facebook's Libra, and so on. But there is a new urgency because COVID-19 has accelerated the flight from cash. Private digital currencies are no longer a mere adjunct to normal cash transactions, but supplanting them. In Sweden, people use cash for their most recent purchases, dropped to 13% from 39% 10 years ago.
So basically 40% of the population was using cash to make transactions in Sweden 10 years ago, and now it's down to 13%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a big drop.
That it is.
And, as a person who tries to use cash as much as I can, I know it's becoming more and more difficult. Now, I mean, during this COVID situation, you'd see young people look at you like you're trying to kill them if you lay down some cash. Oh, my God, I have to touch that. We have to run it through the UV thing.
That's not what you need to be worried about with COVID. Is not what you need to be worried about with cash.
No.
Especially low denomination bills.
Experience differs from country to country, but the trend is clear. Something else is now at play, however. Bank of Canada Deputy Governor Timothy Lane said it out loud. Official digital currencies can pose a strategic threat. Quote, if one country introduces a central bank currency, then that immediately creates the potential for other countries to be affected.
How am I supposed to follow that? A story about a dominatrix.
I don't know.
How am I supposed to follow something like that now?
You're not following it. You're opening for it.
What am I supposed to do with that?
That's right. You're opening for it. You're the opening act.
Oh, yeah. Just what I need in my life. Somebody dominate me.
The Daily Beast, which is known for its salacious stories, I will say, is cashing in on this lady's picture in her bubble bath. It's quite something.
They always had really weird people. We just didn't usually talk about it and put it in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to ask, you were bringing up China. Hey, I remember when some said, hey, Russia, could you tell us about, give us Hillary Clinton's emails? Well, my response to, hey, China, why don't you tell us how much Trump got in those secret bank accounts he's been hiding over there? Huh?
In China? He's got secret bank accounts in China, is the claim?
That's what came out last week.
Well, I haven't heard of this one.
Well, officially, he closed it before running for president, so.
I'd have my secret bank accounts in the Cayman Islands. I mean, that's where I put mine.
You talked earlier about the cryptocurrency and the market beast and such.
Yep, a caller called in and suggested that digital currencies generally would have something to do with the mark of the beast. And that's my understanding, too, of what I was taught at Christian school when I went there long ago.
I'm tempted to encourage people to roam with that theory because then that segment will resist banning cash.
It'd be bad to ban cash.
I want to talk about Bill Gates has a patent for a cryptocurrency system using body activity data.
And what is body activity data?
Basically, they assign you a task. They have a description of it here. It's about a paragraph long. Would you like me to read it or just synopsis it?
Synopsis for me.
Basically, they give you a job. You have a chip that you scan at your job.
Uh-huh.
It sends the information to the server, and for that job, you are assigned cryptocurrency.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. Don't jump in yet. Let me tell you what the patent number for this is. WO2020060606. They want you to know what they're doing. They flaunt it in your face.
Well, I think there's part of it where they get your agreement to do stuff that is creepy, and part of it is they really get off on flaunting power.
Who's they?
The powerful power addicts,
just powerful.
The
people.
psychopaths that have more power and more money than the other 99.99% of us.
But don't they get
and
at that point?
Inject everybody in the world with a vaccine.
Well, so maybe they do want to inject everybody with a vaccine.
Well, Bill Gates said he did.
Well, he's been very clear, and he is in part responsible for polio springing back up in Africa because of the live virus vaccine that he's had there. I'm not claiming that there's not some problems. I'm just trying to understand the way power works is you get it. Like, we, the powerless, don't have much power to take. The power must be taken from the powerful. And so, therefore, all the powerful are in competition with each other for more power.
Well, there's a combination. So they are in competition with each other, but they are also in agreement with each other that they're the only ones allowed in this competition.
That's not the way competition generally works.
Well, okay, so if you look at Jekyll Island, for example.
Yep.
So you had, all of the big banks getting together and saying, okay, look, we tried to knock each other out of the market for years here. It didn't work. But we have a real concern with the fact that someone else might come into this and knock one of us out.
I want to say that socialized medicine is theft. Because if you force others to serve you at a reduced cost or sometimes even for free, that's a form of involuntary servitude, which is supposedly forbidden. So
you're in the medical field, and... Yeah. If somebody comes in and asks for a price that is below market value, you may give it to them or may not. That would be your choice. But if they demand it at the force of violence against you and your family, that's an entirely different story.
Correct. And that's where I disagree with everybody on these socialized medicine plans, because I think just like with government, you've got to show them the gun. With socialized medicine, you need to show them the gun, because there is a gun behind it. And people like us who are in the healthcare field, we're going to be the ones that have to provide a free service. Now, not necessarily the nurses and the staff. They're going to get paid. But they're going to get paid because people like us are going to be asked to pay them to provide a service that we're not going to get reimbursed for. and that is theft. So unless you can figure out some way to, because you're giving away health care, basically. You're giving it to people who didn't save and they didn't put away money. And, you know, I'm sorry, health care is not a right.
So insurance companies have to make a decision all the time whether or not they're going to pay for this or pay for that. Now, they're contractually bound. What's going to happen if you take an organization that is not contractually bound to cover you and make them the only payer for health care? Well, they're going to that's also, by the way, far more inefficient in using its money. Well, that organization's going to approve even fewer of the procedures, or it's going to drive down the price of the procedures to the point that the quality is now diminishing. Because why do moms tell little boys and little girls they've got to grow up to be doctors so they'll be successful and make good money? Well, at some point, when doctors are the equivalents of EMTs and we're all getting equal health care, equally bad, then the smart little boys and smart little girls are going to go off and do something else as a job because it's been ruined.
Well, I would like to point out that when I was young, health care was reasonably cheap. I grew up in the 50s and 60s.
Yep.
I'm getting pretty old. And I remember going to the doctor. My mother would take me to the doctor. We'd pay $5 or $10 or whatever. There was one nurse behind the counter and the doctor in the back office. And the nurse would take our money and send us back to the doctor. The doctor would see us and give us a prescription, and off we would go. And it was very cheap.
If you ever heard of mutualism, you might have heard of it as the left-wing anarchist philosophy. So I go into it saying I'm going to be reading the words of a 19th century, quote-unquote socialist, Proudhon, or am I going to read, the words of modern left-wing anarchist? And I, lo and behold, this book written in the 20s, I'm reading the words of modern American libertarianism. It is distilled about what's presented on this show: voluntarism, voluntary interaction, the elimination of state privilege and power, and it's just going down the list of every issue from banking to taxation to education to all kinds of social issues.
My first issue with mutualism is that it's all labor theory of value. And I mean, if I pick up a rock and put it back down, I've put in labor, but I haven't made value for anyone.
Yeah, and if you go on a Wikipedia page, they haven't ever get that changed. It's not really labor. It's not really wedded to the labor theory of value I don't even know if it's been mentioned.
China and U.S. From your earlier conversation have something in common. I mean, they have lots of things in common, but one in particular. You said China wants to prevent Yuan from leaving China. Is that what you said?
Yuan, yeah, or whatever you pronounce that.
Yeah. Yeah, and the U.S. wants to prevent Juan from entering the U.S.
That's funny.
Yeah. And so anyway, evil. Certainly there is evil. I've seen 4chan a few times. There's all kinds of evil. And to think that it's only the people that murder people on camera for the fun of murdering people on camera and posting it on the internet, if you think they're not in government as well as just out murdering people for fun and putting it on the internet, then you should probably think again.
I don't know what we're talking. Which people are we talking about?
Somebody earlier in your conversation. Like I said, I'm combining about six of the things that I've heard on
You're going to have to explain it to me. Then
I am. You're talking about evil earlier anyway, and you made me lose my train of thought. So just forget about that. Let me go forward.
Well, we're killing kids on camera or something. You said
who's killing kids on camera? I mean, today.
Well, just look at 4chan. You can find videos of people shot for entertainment value.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Trump and whether or not to vote for him, even though I can't personally vote for them.
Okay.
But I do follow the politics. In the last election, it wasn't really clear to me, which if it mattered for which. Well, I like Trump better than Hillary. But now more of the evidence of the corruption of the Democratic Party comes out. We've also had 4 years of Trump leadership, which he's done a lot of. As a libertarian, I don't agree with most of the stuff he does. But I'm just thinking, You know how you always quote South Park and how, you know, it's a turd sandwich compared to a whatever.
Giant douche, yeah.
Yeah, giant
right.
douche.
The election is choosing between a turd sandwich and a giant douche, right?
I think we're, well, even with Hillary, I would have chosen Trump if I, gun to my head, had to vote. But I think in this election, I think there's an excuse for a libertarian in a swing state to vote for Trump. Because okay. I'll give you two reasons why.
All right.
And I never thought I'd say this because I don't vote. I've only voted once in my life. I'm 48. But anyway, here are the two reasons. I don't think that he would do a mandatory vaccination, and that's a big issue.
Fiat currencies have value in so much as they are more flexible in many ways than value-backed currencies. And I don't know whether the U.S. dollar, if a value-backed currency, could continue to compete on the world stage.
People are going to hold on to it, that's for sure.
Right, but they'd also have to admit as to how much the dollar has been valued. I mean, because the United States would have to have enough gold to back the dollar,
And I agree with you as far as your attribution of the Federal Reserve, but okay, let's look what happened. I mean, he took the rein. There were only a couple things barely reining them in. One of them was that they had to theoretically answer to whoever the heck owns it, which we're not allowed to know. One of them was that they had a reserve requirement. They right. had the 10% reserve requirement. That's gone now.
And that's important to define. So a 10% reserve requirement meant that a bank had to have in deposits at least 10% of what it loaned out. And it could not loan out more than that number. It needed to bring deposits in.
And Trump signed the law that made that zero.
Yes. So now a bank can just begin loaning money without ever having a single depositor. And, it's amazing the wool that has been pulled over American people's eyes in the course of decades, but it certainly has. Meet the dominatrix forcing Trump supporters to vote for Biden. Empress Delfina is talking her submissive fans into seeing the error of their ways for the low price of $2 a minute. This election season, many people wouldn't be natural allies of centrist Democrats under normal circumstances. They're pulling out all the stops to rally their particular audience to vote against Trump's reelection via voting for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Groups such as the Lincoln Project and Republican Voters Against Trump are organizing their fellow disaffected Republicans. Former CIA and NSA Director General Michael Hayden put out a message that is likely to influence the national defense and intelligence communities towards Biden. And leftist groups such as Trump as Vote Trump Out are swaying their fellow progressives who can't stand centrist Democrats and who are leaning towards voting for a third party or not voting at all to vote against Trump by voting for Biden. When such a wildly diverse group of organizers, such as across the right and the left, comes together for a common goal, they're clearly in on an unprecedented all-hands-on-deck moment. Everyone's doing their part. But up until recently, there's only one group of potential Biden voters who have not been the subject of voter outreach. Kinky, submissive, male Trump supporters with humiliation fetishes.
Okay, that's not a demographic. That's your client base. Those people fit in many other demographics who are being outreached to, okay?
Now, thanks to Las Vegas-based professional dominatrix named Empress Delfina, this once-overlooked voting bloc is covered and may be voting for Biden by force. She calls it Trump conversion therapy. Her ad for this service reaches out. She has an ad to these political Biden, potential Biden voters as follows. Here's your chance to get berated for being the degenerate Trump supporter you are.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.